Then we're driving home, and it's the car's dark. We're all in there, and all of a sudden we hear a voice from the back seat. Hey, Mom, what's fornicating? And I'm pretty sure all the blood left my face, right? Like, I was like, oh, no.
God have mercy on us all.
Did I screw that up?
And you can get Listen Up for only $14.99.
All right. Well, welcome everyone to this week's episode of Pod Have Mercy. I am Andrew Wolf. I am pastor of congregational care here at Chapelwood. Deal a lot with young families and parenting ministry. And this week we have a couple of great guests with us.
Hey there. I'm Angela Wade Ferguson, and I am the director of children's discipleship here at Chapelwood.
And my name is Joseph Patty. I'm director of student ministry here at Chapelwood.
That's right. And so the three of us got together with a couple of friends. We had about 300 people show up this past weekend for an event at the church called The Birds and the Bees. So we do want to give a little warning to everyone on the podcast. Cover your children's tender ears, because we are going to get into the birds and the bees with all of you. But we
or
really
or
not. We yeah. we may not. Just... You'll have to listen to find out. You've been warned. But we really wanted to kind of share what this event was about, and a lot of the ways that we have seen parenting ministry just begin to flourish and blossom in the last couple of months as we've listened to parents, put these kind of events together, and now we're really excited to really have a conversation recapping some of that event, as well as thinking forward to our next events. So that's exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. So we brought in Birds and Bees. It's an organization out of Dallas, started by Mary Flo Ridley, but we had Megan Michelson, who's kind of been her protege for the last several years and has taken over. And essentially the whole heart behind it is just how to talk with your kids about this uncomfortable conversation, this uncomfortable topic, and really addressing the idea that I think most of the discomfort lies with us.
Right.
Our kids don't actually have that burden of all the things and all the just charged memories and thoughts behind it. And so instead of making it this one big epic talk that we plan out probably too late when our kids are teenagers, let's just roll it back. Start as young as you can in age appropriate ways. And just saying, hey, this is, you know, let's define a narrative of what we believe this for our family, that, you know, we believe that sex and sexuality is God's gift defined by scripture to be within marriage, right? And so you as a family get to define what that story is for yourself and for your family. And then, hey, we're going to start to just unpack that little by little in age-appropriate ways from very early, so that it doesn't have to be this, okay, they're 12 and I have to talk about it now.
Come sit down at the table. We need to have a conversation.
Eyeball to eyeball.
That's right. We know prom is coming up. So let's have a conversation about your choices and how you're going to behave.
Yeah. So Megan said there are two key words that she said at the very beginning of her talk. She said there are two F words, frequent and frank. Yes. And so what she's saying there is that it's important that we set the tone as parents, that we can be frank, we can be open, because we want to become, and the minute we have these conversations, we initiate them with our kids, we do become these experts, right? So we want to be the experts. We want them to seek any of their answers from us instead of, because culture will, the world will answer them if we let them, but we want it to be frank and open, and we want it to be frequent. And I love toward the end of her message, she gave this visual, I don't know if you remember, about the field. And she said, yeah. Imagine this field, and you're on one side of it, and your child is on the other side of it. And basically, the conversation about sex or sexuality is this, you making your way through this field of like wheat to your child. And so for me, like in a creative way, I was like, what a great idea, because it kind of feels like you're in the weeds, right? When you first have that discussion.
Absolutely.
But the more frequent that conversation is, the more it creates this path to them. So if you wait and have that one-off conversation, like you were just speaking of, the pre-prom conversation, finding your way to your kid is going to be hard, and it's going to make the conversation awkward and weird. But if you've worn that path down in age-appropriate ways from the time, you know, that they were little, that conversation becomes easy.
Yeah.
Frequent.
Yeah. The other metaphor that she used was the drip drop, or having a sponge, and you don't just fill a sponge up with a cup of water and dump it all at one time. But if you are dropping or picking up little drops of water with that sponge over time, it can hold a lot. And that's the same thing as like building capacity within your family to have frank conversations, just that, you know, as kids come to you with whatever questions about why am I different, or how, where do babies come from? That's a good one in my family right now. That's you know, it gives you the capacity to learn the language, to be rooted in, as Joseph, you're saying, that kind of family mantra, that kind of belief system, that founding statement for how we're going to talk about sex and sexuality. And that, as a parent, just makes it so much more easier when it becomes a bite size and not this, like, come to the table, we're going to talk moment.
Yeah. And so, to the sponge metaphor, this is my third time actually hearing them, and we've used their stuff so much in our own parenting. I'll share some of those stories in a bit. But she talked about how a lot of times with that sponge metaphor, it's like, as parents, we feel like we're supposed to preserve the dryness of the sponge and never let anything drop on it ever, right? And she's like, okay, here's the deal. As soon as your kid goes into first grade or kindergarten, yes, your oldest child, you've protected them and they've never heard any of the words or any of the things, but then they're going to sit next to Johnny, whose older brother is 16 and watches porn, and Johnny knows everything, and Johnny's going to catch your child, your sweet little innocent child, up real fast.
Yeah, and she said that you're basically the age of your family is the oldest child. So like whatever the oldest child is kind of your baseline for what guides those conversations.
Yeah. So do you want your child to learn from Johnny, or do you want your child to learn from porn, or do you want your child to learn from you? And so, you know, you don't have to be weird about it. But just from a young age, hey, you know what? And this is the whole birds and the bees, like, it's just in nature, right? Man, hey, you open up a watermelon. God put seeds inside of this. Man, there's the potential for new life that God placed inside of every living organism. And he designed it this way. Isn't that cool? Did you know that God did that for you too? Okay, cool. Hey, let's go get some orange juice, right? Like,
it's really that simple.
We make it this huge thing. It's like, do it small, little sample size, and you kind of lay the foundation. And then later on, whenever your kid does ask where does this stuff come from? You're like, oh, I don't have to be weird about this. Hey, you remember how we talked about seeds? Well, actually, that seed in mommy is an egg, and it's inside something called the uterus, right? And you get to use the scientific words and be the expert, instead of, you know, you waited too long. You're like, okay.
Yeah. It was kind of interesting to watch the room when she was encouraging. I sat in the very back. And when she was encouraging the, you know, parents to use the medical terms of penis or vagina or whatnot, it was interesting to kind of watch the dynamic that would happen kind of between couples, like married couples. They're like, you know, they almost started to have instant dialogue there, which was kind of exciting to me, because if events like this can stimulate conversation, whether it's in the room, in the car on the way home, when you get home, maybe like debriefing it together. But that's what we want to do. Part of equipping parents is helping tee up these conversations in a way that they can kind of personalize it to their family.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And personalizing it in a way that, you know, everyone's on board with. It was great to see at our event. We had a lot of dads that did show up, because it is, I mean, it takes the whole family to kind of get behind that. But it was definitely, there's some giggles and some laughter, and it was good, right? Like, because it was parents realizing, okay, we're not going to let this, you know, wait until the clock runs out and then have the talk. like we're gonna laugh about it now. We're gonna strategize and think about it. Might not be the greatest date night ever that you have with your partner to go and figure out what are we gonna tell our kids. But I mean, maybe it is. I could be dead wrong. You're right. I could be dead wrong. Don't ever take dating advice from me. I haven't really had to work on my dating skills.
That's a whole different podcast.
A whole different podcast. That is for Pod Have Mercy After Dark, take two.
That's hilarious. One of the things I appreciated was that she encouraged people to use those kind of buffer things. When your child asks like an interesting question, just, that's a really good question. I am so glad you asked. And it gives you that time to kind of breathe and prepare, you know, with that intention. So if you kind of, she said, you kind of put those on repeat, right? That's such a great question. So glad you asked that. Okay, so, but it gives you this time to kind of adjust your face, maybe adjust where you are. I mean, I really do like that she said, you know, these conversations are kind of great shoulder to shoulder.
Yes, exactly.
And not eyeball to eyeball, like at any age. Like it's a weird, I mean, my parents, my mom had the conversation with me eyeball to eyeball over a plate of scalloped tomatoes. And I don't know which was worse, like her serving that for dinner or having the conversation about sex. I don't know.
Did you pick that strategically for that conversation?
Yeah, do you think that the food was...
I've never thought about it. I'm having this whole like, I gotta go to therapy. I'll be back.
I gotta just scar my child around.
Oh my
gosh,
she was trying to make this conversation stick.
So we use that phrase in particular often, and it's helped me reframe in my own brain. Okay, no, this is a good thing. I want to be the one to shape my kids. I want to be the one to have this conversation. And just example. Is this summer we went to this worship thing called Urban Hymnal. That's put together by Lo Alaman. It's amazing. If you haven't ever talked to him, you should do it. But while we're there, this woman is sharing her testimony, and just in the middle of her testimony, she's like, I'm not gonna lie, y'all, I was fornicating, and she just moves on. And Courtney and I are like, do you think our kids heard that? Like, what's happening?
They hear everything.
And then we're driving home, and it's the car's dark. We're all in there, and all of a sudden we hear a voice from the back seat. Hey, Mom, what's fornicating? And I'm pretty sure all the blood left my face, right? Like, I was like, oh, no. And Courtney, thankfully, she was like, I'm so glad you asked that. That is a great question. And my brain starts going, okay, no, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. And so then we get to reframe. Okay, fornication is actually when, you know how we talked about God has boundaries for what this is, and sex is a good thing within those boundaries. Like, it's beauty, it's beautiful, but outside those boundaries can cause a lot of problems in your life. And so she was living outside of God's boundaries. And so she was talking about how God was actually calling her back into his grace. And it got to be this beautiful conversation of, okay, let's reaffirm that there's beauty, there's boundaries, and there's grace. And then my son in the middle of the conversation is like, what's sex? And we're like, oh, great. We missed that one with
what
you.
What a great question. I'm so glad you
second born. We did it. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that was more fun conversations of explaining seeds and all the things. So, it's good times. And so great strategies that we honestly use often. So,
Yeah. And I think that's it, right? Don't bring a bowl of stewed tomatoes. Figure out the ways that, you know, the car ride, or that, like, I love the shoulder to shoulder, walking through the park, walking, you know, through the neighborhood at night, and those questions just come up, or whatever it is so much simpler, or just breaks down the anxiety of, oh man, we're gonna have this big talk. It really doesn't have to turn into some production.
Yeah.
It can just be the simplicity of, you're right.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Yeah. My oldest, he was always quiet and inquisitive and very introverted. He's 26 now, but at the time I was really trying, I knew it was time to have the talk. And, you know, I wish I'd had like a Megan or Birds and Bees, because actually I was a couple years too late according to them, but because he was going into middle school. So he was like, it was probably the summer before fifth grade. And that conversation happened over shooting baskets. And he later, years later, I mean, probably like senior year in high school, we were laughing about the talk or whatever. And he was like, I am so glad that we just shot baskets in the driveway when you had that conversation, because that would have been so weird any other way.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, when you know your children, like the conversation I had with him was so different than the conversation I had with my daughter, or so different than I had, you know, with even the youngers. And so I think knowing your child and knowing what would make them feel comfortable is important about making that as intentional as possible.
And so one other piece that I was encouraged by this time, just because we're in the stage now of needing to circle back. And she talked about the necessity of circling back as parents for, you know, if you have kids who are a little more introverted and don't ask all the questions.
Yeah.
And so it was just encouraging to me. And actually recently, when we were Halloween costume shopping, we needed to get some gloves because my daughter wanted to be Princess Peach. But we walked down the aisle that has the gloves in Party City, and there's also a lot of fishnet stockings.
Oh, yeah.
And Micah has this just massive reaction, like, oh gosh, and like turns the other way. And I'm like, just look at the plates, buddy. And, but it was kind of this moment of, okay, like you're only 8, but you're very aware of this stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Totally.
And so later we were just walking the dog and just, I was like, okay, yeah, I need to circle back. And so, hey bud, dude, when you turned your eyes away, I was so proud of you in that moment. Like that was such a great way for you to respond. And then, you know, we just kind of talked about, hey, as you get older, that's going to be a temptation to want to look at things, and the world is going to have its ideas of what you should look at and what's good to look at and what's not. And we know that we want to honor our bodies and honor others with our eyes. And so like, it was just really good and encouraging for me to hear that.
It's yeah.
Like, yeah, no, circle back. Do this often.
There's so much power in that circling back. Because when you circle back, you can play off of, you can kind of take the conversation to the next level, right?
Yeah.
To piggyback on what you were saying, one of the shocking things, I think, it's like you know it, but then when you hear it aloud in an event like this, the average age, do y'all remember this? The pornographic pause at the event. She goes, I have to put something about porn in this evening. So we call it like the pause for porn. And so she kind of pauses the conversation to talk about this. But the average age that a child is exposed to porn is 11 years old.
And that's a conservative.
And that's very conservative.
Yeah. There's a lot of studies that would say as young as 8.
Exactly.
Which is mortifying.
It's terrifying. So, just terrifying to think about it. You know, that happened to in my family unit. I had a summer babysitter, and she was just a sweet, sweet caregiver. And she was with my kids, and they played Webkinz on the computer. So it was back when you would have these stuffed animals, you type this code in, and they go on, they get to build like this Webkinz house or whatever. And she called me hysterical. I was only working like a couple hours that day, and she called me. She's like, you have to come home right now. And I was like, what? And she said this thing popped up on the computer while Douglas was playing Webkinz. No. And I'm just like devastated. I'm like bawling. But you have to be prepared. I mean, the world is going to, we can't control what the world will do, even when we're trying to be perfect parents. Do you know what I mean? Like, I felt like, 100%. I mean, we had downloaded McAfee back then. We had all kinds of different screen protection devices because this was in the dark ages. But I had done what I thought everything I could to prevent the fact. But some click on a Webkinz pop up later. All of a sudden, now I'm having this whole other conversation with my kids that I didn't expect to have at that age.
Yeah. And I think the big takeaway, too, from just the whole event is being able to affirm, like, hey, you saw something wrong. You understood that there's wrong. We need to talk and make sure that you understand this, and not to shame them. I think that was my two things was like shame. And I think it, especially in that kind of conversation of porn and pornography, like there's so much shame in all of that, that really just makes kids not want to feel like they can talk about it and be able to have the tools that they need if they're in a situation to say, this is not for me. This is not what I participate in.
Right.
I have a different understanding of what this is, and I'm going to step away.
Right.
Right. And so there's so much when we can affirm our kids for making good choices of looking at the plates at Party City or having a caregiver who's like, I don't know what the internet just did, but it exploded. Yeah. Come home. That's just like, you need that to continue to be good parents and not let this become a monster that, you know, lurks.
It's what we have to do. So in a world that can be so dark, you know, we have to, as parents, turn the lights on. Like we have to turn the lights on for our kids. And so I think it's just critical for us to, so we always have to be listening and watching. and ready to turn those lights on for a conversation that, that could change their understanding of really anything.
Yeah. I mean, Birds and Bees has their own website, and they've got plenty of study tools. They've got studies that, that honestly we've talked about leaning into just as a church.
Yeah.
That's a great resource. You can download some of their talks, and I think you have to purchase them. But we honestly have some of the pamphlets left.
Yeah,
over.
We've got some discussion guides. So if you are listening, or maybe you're a grandparent who has grandchildren or whatever, we do have some resources that we would love to share.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a list of books that she recommended, and I Amazoned them right then so that we would have them here at Chapelwood. So if you are looking for like some books to read at home that can kind of initiate some of these conversations, we'll have them in our children's library here, and they're...
Yeah, and I think the spoiler alert there is read them yourself first, parents. don't go into this thinking that this is, you know, the Three Little Pigs, nighttime story. Might want to kind of pick a different time to engage in those materials. She did give a lot of helpful tools and hints that we can access. And then, of course, they're on social media. They're on Facebook and Instagram, and I don't know about TikTok, but wherever, you know, you can find them. And I think that was another thing that so many parents who did attend this event follow them on social media or knew there was a following this kind of group and this conversation that parents are really looking for those helpful tips and steps and ideas.
Yeah.
Because there's so much out there.
And if you did attend, plan to come back to our next one that we host. Like you said, this was it your third time? Second
hearing
time?
Them. Yeah. Yeah, this is my
so
third time.
I talked to a woman who said this was her fourth time hearing them.
Wow.
And she said, I heard it differently every single time because the ages and stages of my kids changed. And so the parenting, you know, we all adapt, right? Adapt and overcome. But she said, I will keep doing this. Like, I'll keep coming back as long as y'all offer it because I'm resonating with it in different ways based on the age and stage that my kids are in at right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's so much of what we're about. Just like, I love being a part of this team. Of our heart is not that we just want to be the happening children's ministry or the happening student ministry. Like, we want to equip parents to be the primary disciple makers in their home. Like, we want to equip you to be able to have the hard conversations or to take the wise steps or to see with vision or to, you know, X, Y, Z. And so, which is why we did, you know, earlier this semester we had one that was all about screens and how do you raise kids in a world of screens, which is its own mess. And then we're going to have Crystal Collier back, which if you've never heard Crystal Collier, she's phenomenal and just an expert on the development of the child brain or the adolescent brain, but talking about how to build a family code. And so that'll be in January, and that'll be on our website. It's chapelwood.org/parent-equipping,
and you can bring your children to this. So children ages 7 and up come with you to the event.
Yeah, and you build it together.
It's like
and a guided exercise.
So she'll talk about how the brain, like different things, drugs, alcohol, divorce, stress, anxiety, all of those things affect the brain. But you can be proactive as a family and build this code that will help you in a proactive way kind of prepare and counterbalance all those things that can negatively affect.
Exactly. Yeah. Having that direction and setting that tone and then getting the buy-in of your kids. I think that's really important because, you know, we all see the world differently, but to know that, like, oh, I helped with this, and this is important to me. It's not just another rule from mom and dad, but it's mom and dad leading me and helping me to have, you know, healthy, good boundaries, but also feel like this is where God is leading me as well as a student, as a child. It's
right.
Yeah,
it's pretty, pretty awesome gift.
It is.
Well, I am Andrew Wolf.
And I'm Angela Wade Ferguson.
And I'm Joseph Paddy.
And this is Pod Have Mercy. Thanks for listening.